This is the Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Luis J. Gomez.
What is up? Whoa, hey. That's my headphones, isn't it? What's up, motherfuckers? It's your boy, Luis J. Gomez, Real Ass Podcast. We're back. What a day. First of all, I gotta say, very nice day here in New York City. No Chris Tinkle. Chris Tinkle is missing. We don't know where he's at. I hope he's okay. He hasn't tweeted in days. He hasn't been on Facebook in days. Chris Tinkle is missing. So
if you see Chris Tinkle in public, please take a blurry photo of him and tweet it to us.
If he's walking upright, it may not be Chris Tinkle. We don't know. But I'm really worried about him because Tinkle goes off the edge sometimes. He'll just fucking, he's sober, but once in a blue, he won't be sober. And when he's not, it's a fucking problem. So he could be dead. And I don't mean to joke about it, but if he's dead, it might be better for the show. Not for losing him, but I feel like in terms of creating content, it would be at least 8 weeks of content following his death.
Janet, can you make a Where in the World is Chris Tinkle drop for next week? And we'll just bring in guesses.
Yeah, I hope he's alive. International superstar Zach Amico is here.
Bonjour.
Your cigarette burns are healing nicely.
Thank you.
It's the first week that I have felt not really uncomfortable sitting right in front of you.
Thank you very much. They should be not awful soon.
Yeah, they don't look contagious anymore. Cigarette burns should not look contagious, so that's how you know you're not taking care of them properly. Also in studio, very happy to have him here. In my opinion, probably should be the co-host on this show because
That would have been so. We should have just started with him in my seat.
We really should have because he whooped your fucking ass.
He certainly
Zach.
Did.
Brand new Roastmasters New York City champion Eli Sayers joins the show for the
What's
first time.
What's up, dudes? What's up?
What up, nigga?
What's up, kid?
How you doing, bro?
Doing great, man.
Eli, I've never had you on any of my podcasts before, and I like you a lot. You're a really fucking great dude. You're very funny, and you're a little bit of a weirdo. So I think you fit in well with our people.
Yeah, I love him, man. I'm a fan of the shows.
Oh,
so
thanks.
This is cool. This is cool.
Very cool, Eli. Now, Eli did. He whooped your ass, Zach.
Yes, he certainly did.
Can you pull up some of the battle, Shannon? I made a new rule that I wasn't going to tell Shannon to pull up stuff on mic, and I was going to Facebook chat her that. And within 1 minute of the show, I did that. In the meantime, while you're pulling that up, let's do some plugs. Let's get some music out there.
I'm on everything. I'm on. Thank you,
Eli, do you have anything coming up that you'd like to plug?
Just the battle, March 7th, LA versus New York. I don't know if I was supposed to wait for you to introduce that.
No, that's okay. Please, plug it, bitch.
Yeah. March 7th is going to be LA versus New York City. I'm going to be battling Scott Chaplin and Christy Cho. We're going to be battling. It should be a killer fucking show.
Yeah, champion versus champion. Paul Hooper. Paul's
Alex
a New York comic. Alex Hooper. Alex Hooper versus Eli Sayers. He's their club champion.
Yeah.
You're our club champion. You got to go put it on him. March 7th. Tickets are free. I think tickets are already almost sold out.
They're
almost sold out.
Really?
I think the within the first like hour, 75 tickets went. The club fits 100 people.
Wow. Yeah, well, get them now then.
If they're not already sold out, go grab them. It's going to be fucking killer.
Support New York, man. It's going to be great.
You got to bring it, motherfucker.
I'll bring it. Yeah.
You better fucking bring it. Dude, you lose that title. If you lose that title, first of all, if they lose their title, we're gonna get to it in a minute. Hold on.
Yeah,
Zach, what do you have to book?
In March, I'm going to be at Laugh It Up at Mahoney's in Poughkeepsie. And then I'm going to be back in June, emceeing for Big J, same club. I got stuff coming up in Indianapolis, I believe something in Florida, and I'm working on something. If you booked anywhere in Knoxville, Tennessee, I'm trying to get out there. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram, Zach is not funny. Snapchat me your cat, Zach Amico.
GomezComedy.com, Gomez Comedy on Instagram. Actually, GomezComedy.com, I'm shutting it down for now. I need a new website, and I'm taking the lowest bidders. So if you guys build websites, I want you to show me your work, and then I want you guys to bid to do my website. And it's going to be based off of how good your work is versus how cheap you cost. Simple as that. Send me your shit.
I can't wait to see your new Angel Fire website. With, like, fire gifts. Bart Simpson mooning when you click on it.
I think that's actually cooler, to be honest. In today's day and age, how cool would that be?
It's a super shitty website.
I used to have a super shitty website when I was in a band. Salty Blackfire's website was garbage. And, yeah, it was great, though. A little fucking, like, a little funny guy, you know? Like, you know, it'll be like the guy that they put the sticker on the back of pickup trucks of the kid peeing. Mm-hmm. There was that kid, but the pee was moving. Like,
Calvin? You don't know that's Calvin?
Is that Calvin?
Yeah,
is that his name?
Come on.
Calvin's a black name. That's not his name.
It's Calvin and Hobbes.
Really? The kid
peeing?
Yeah,
it's a kid from Calvin and Hobbes, yeah.
And he's just pissing all over everything.
Do you know how much better Calvin and Hobbes would be if it was just gay black Calvin Cato and a stuffed tiger?
Calvin and Hobbes both sound like black dudes. I buy my Coke from Calvin and Hobbes.
There's got to be a lot of Calvin pissing on Trump now, right?
Yeah, probably.
Or Trump watching Calvin piss on something. Because that's perfect. That's perfect. If that hasn't been made, that's a fucking atrocity.
Or Sandusky looking at Calvin's dick, jerking off.
All of them.
The new Sandusky.
The new version.
Sandusky, the next generation.
Do we like this version better than...
I said this on Kumia's show. I feel bad for because you know he was just fucked into being a pedophile.
That's true.
His ass was just pounded out until
he grew up thinking that's normal. Came from. Actually,
yes,
yeah.
He fucking dude.
He's a legacy pedophile.
Butt plugged into fucking coming out and liking to bang little boys in a weird way. I just kind of like look. He's got to be put down. You know, you got to take him out, but. You know,
it's a tragic story.
Like vampires. He creates a bunch of other little pedophiles now, you know? And truth is, if you invite a pedophile into your home,
you're probably going to become a pedophile.
Yeah. So, pedophiles and vampires, a lot alike. People don't know that. Who's the first pedophile? Who's the first known pedophile?
That makes the movie The Lost Boys sound a little more fucked up.
Yeah.
It's probably some Greek guy, right?
The first pedophile?
Who's the first known pedophile, Shannon? I
Plato,
know that.
Maybe?
Plato?
I don't know. Yeah, you're right.
That's why they named Plato, because they tempt little kids
with
it.
Here, play with this shit while I fuck in the ass. The kid's asshole made stars and spaghetti.
Oh, come on, Zach. No, do more. Come on. I need more. I need to come. GomezComedy.com is being rebuilt, I think, because there will be bidders. Send me your shit. Gomez Comedy on Instagram. Me and Dave, I'm working with a producer right now in Boston. It will be at the end of March. It's going to be a Friday or Saturday. I'm going to announce it as soon as possible. Me and Dave are coming to Boston. There will be a special guest. All details are announced very shortly. Obviously check out the Roastmasters. The 7th is going to be sick. Roastmasters on the 21st is going to be sick. It's the best fucking show in New York.
It's so much fun, man. It's awesome.
So, Shannon, what's the first pedophile?
David Scott Engel from Lake Lucerne, Washington.
And how old... when was this? When was he a pedophile?
American, I like it.
Hold on.
No, Shannon, look. That's the picture of him?
Yeah.
He's got a picture of a baseball cap on. There's no way that's the first pedophile.
It's got to be like some caveman
Greek
guy.
That picture's in color.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I'm sure that cavemen were fucking babies left and right. And it wasn't even
a thing. It wasn't even bad.
It was just part of life.
Yeah.
You just fuck that baby. It's like, you know how mother birds kick their babies out of the nest?
Yeah, you got to fuck it.
Cavemen
fuck
it, and then if the baby could walk afterwards.
If the baby's good at fucking, it's worth keeping.
Yes, exactly. I'm sure cavemen were just fucking the shit. Because I think monkeys kill their own babies sometimes, right?
I don't know.
Easy, Zach. What are you doing? I see your head fucking working. Zach's very racist, Eli. You got to understand.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So, all right, we're talking about the Roastmasters. Couple things real quick before we get into it. Huge announcement. Starting in March, Real Ass Podcast, we go twice a week. Shannon, I wish you had created some sort of twice a week drop. It's okay, thank you. It's something. Real Ass Podcast is going to go twice a week.
That's how bad Eli beat me at Roastmasters. I have PTSD from that horn.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm losing again. It's all crumbling away.
So starting in March, twice a week, Mondays and Wednesdays at noon, live here on the Gas Digital Network. Obviously, the shows will still be available for free on iTunes 5 days after they're here on the Gas Digital Network. So look out for twice a week, Real Ass Podcasts, twice of everything you love, twice per week. Okay. Whew. Now that I got that off my chest. Eli, you're the new champ.
Yeah.
You fucked up this little bitch sitting right next to you.
Oh, man. I don't know. I thought he was great.
I did terrible.
No, man. I think, we both know, as comics, just there's some, I thought your jokes were really good. I think there's sometimes a crowd does not connect with you, and sometimes they do.
Eli, you brought it that time. Here's the truth. I'm being honest with you guys. Zach didn't bring what he usually brings. And it's not a knock on you, because you're always great, Eli, right?
Yeah.
Zach, that was not... You know when you watch...
It was not the caliber performance people expect from me.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was just I
you got
I
you got
out.
Outclassed. You fucking yeah. You know, and he explained it. You explained it last week. You know, just talking about not. You have to step back sometimes. You don't even can't even tell what's funny because yeah. You do it so much.
And you had a lot going on leading up to it too.
Yeah. Diabetes, cigarette burns, shitty hair, that beard. What? Just shave it, Zach.
Do you not remember how bad I look without it?
I mean, Zach,
I
there's
terrible.
No way.
I guarantee I look
it's,
worse without
it's
it.
It's thin and
I look worse without it.
No, you don't. It's bad. That's a bad beard.
I will bring in a picture for you of me without it, and you will believe me.
Physically, it's not working for you. You have a great person. You're lucky you're funny.
Oh, I know, right?
Great personality.
Jesus Christ.
I look at you sometimes, I'm like, did somebody draw him? Am I on acid right now? What is happening? So, all right. So, let's play a little bit of their battle. Eli versus Zach.
Eli's hands are raw from constantly washing them. Not because of his crippling OCD about germs, because he has to scrub his jokes off of them after every time he bombs.
Yeah, nice spikes, cum 41. Zach doesn't spell his name traditionally. Most people spell it Z-A-C-K. But Zach actually spells his name on a petition to lower the age of consent in New York.
Fatality. That's a good joke.
That was a good one. Wow.
Wow, you did your research. The Hills Have Open Mics.
That's a great one. Very funny.
This bomb.
Eli's dad was a minister. But it would be unfair to call him a Bible beater. Although, that is the only way he can come.
Yeah, that was really edgy there, Lenny Bruce Valanche.
Just the inner specials. All right, that's good. We got it. I mean, here's the thing, right? You know, obviously, you guys are going to have to rematch at one point.
Yeah.
You know.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
All right, Zach, would you take a warm-up battle or would you just want the rematch?
I would like a warm-up battle.
I love it. I love it, dude. I'm such a nerd when it comes to this shit.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
Behind the scenes, like, I really am such a nerd. But I got to be honest with you, like, what's happening behind the scenes, it's almost becoming, like, this, like, league and this, like, thing.
Yeah.
Like, we are the New York fucking team. Like,
yeah.
This is our shit, you know? We talk, you know, behind the scenes, like, they're flying three of their best guys out to New York to come and compete against their guys. They're spending money to fucking do this. I have a feeling this is the start of something much bigger.
It must be for them to do that, because that sounds crazy, right?
Yeah.
To spend money just for a live show. So I think that's what it is. I think they see it as, like, a bigger thing.
You know, Lawrence hit me up, and he's like, oh, dude, you got to make it fair. He's already turning into a little L.A. cunt. He's a fucking traitor. He's like, dude, what are you going to do to ensure that it's fair? I was like, fuck ensuring
that
it's fair.
Here's the thing.
It's New York. If they come and beat us on our home turf, it's a fucking embarrassment. And whoever loses on the New York team, I'm telling you right now, they're banned from Roastmasters for 6 months. I fucking swear to God. If you lose in New York, in our club, in front of our audience, with our judges, if you get outclassed, do not even fucking look at me. You're not a fucking comic to me. That is crazy. You are not losing to these motherfuckers in New York.
Well,
and
dude,
look, I like Keith a lot. He's a really cool kid. I don't know Alex, and I don't know Pat. I think I met Pat before.
They're all really good. They're
I'm sure
all
they're
really
great
funny.
Guys, but they're coming to New York in the same way that the L.A. crowds were fucking laughing at their setups and just giving them everything. On national TV, on a much bigger stage, I expect New York crowds to really be hard on L.A., and I'm not coaching the crowds. I'm just kind of expecting that. Also, not for nothing, the New York crowds expect a lot meaner, a lot harder, a lot more cleverness, a lot more edge,
more tags.
Yeah, more complicated,
more intricate jokes.
Go listen to which is a great podcast, and I'm not knocking them at all. Okay, but I'm used to watching the New York guys who are fucking murderers, right? And
I've
battled, and I have respect for because I've watched it from every angle now, right?
Right.
But I go listen to the Verbal Violence podcast, and I'm a huge fan of Brian Moe's, huge fan of their show. But I listen to their battlers, dude. I listen to their battlers. And the L.A. crowds, they fucking laugh at jokes where I'm like, this wouldn't even be a fucking joke in New York. It wouldn't even, like, it would get crickets in New York. Our standard, in my opinion, it's a lot harder to kill at the Roastmasters than it is at the Roast Battle. And I've judged Roast Battle, I think, 3 times, and I'm at the Roastmasters every single week. To kill in New York, like, the New York crowd will not just do
it. Oh, you've been to the Belly Room?
I've judged it
3 times. Okay, I've never been.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it seems awesome.
It's unfucking believable. People hate the Wave on TV. That's a constant.
But they're so good live. Yeah.
Go watch it in the fucking
Belly Room. Yeah, they're great live.
It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I like them on TV too, but
I like them on TV too. The problem is you can't. They edit it. The comedy is about timing, right? So they're not used to editing this physical comedy within editing stand-up comedy at the same time. So they have these weird kind of flashes of them that don't really make sense. It's an editing issue more than anything
else. If the whole show was a wide shot, you would understand what the Wave does and it would make sense. But if the whole show was a wide shot, it would look like shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. I think they need to... I don't even know the answer to it, but I feel like the reason that people don't connect with it, that don't know it from the Belly Room, is because they don't... Like, I like it because I know what they're doing and I know the timing of it. But in the Belly Room, it's one of the funniest things on earth. The audience is very happy to be there.
Yeah.
At the Stand, I ask every time, is this somebody's... Is it your first time at the Roastmasters? I would say 70% of the crowd, it's their first time. They don't even know that they're going.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. That's what it seems like. It seems like
we put it on as a club show and it's free. So a lot of people go, oh, I'll check it out. And they don't even get what it is until they get there. So we educate them during the show. And you'll watch people bomb their fucking asses off at the Roastmasters. But people that are killers break the crowd. This last one that we just did was a perfect example where there was a couple rough ones up top and then the crowd fucking broke and they got it and the killers killed.
Well, when me and Scott opened up the preliminary Comedy Central one, I think we did well, but it felt like an audience was learning what a roast battle was while we were doing it.
Yeah.
So yeah, you have to break them in, and if you don't bring it and you're going first, then
this was in Road 2.
Road 2. Yeah, yeah. The one that we were all three on.
They're not as forgiving in New York as they are at the Belly Room, and I think the LA guys are going to come out and they're going to realize that. Well,
now that you laid out the blueprint for them, maybe
fuck them, dude. I will give them the game plan. I will let them know.
I'll hire them writers. All,
being you talked about, you know my attitude, dude. You know my attitude. I feel like we should be able to beat them inside and out. We should be able to mix up any of the battles. It's you versus Hooper, Chrissy Chella versus Pat Barker, and it's going to be Scott Chaplin versus Keith Carey. There's three of the best versus three of the best.
It's honestly like. Part of why I did that call out and shit was like you got to give respect to the store. They started all this. They have
of course.
Killers. Yeah. I'm like they don't suck. If they sucked, this wouldn't be a fun thing to go to. They're great,
but they're used to killing with easier stuff, so they're not as sharp as our guys.
I don't know. I'll just say that LA, it felt like their showcase kind of that season two, and that's kind of fun. Like the audience was there. They were on their sides. It put the New York guys at a disadvantage, and I guess that's okay. But like. It's nice to have, we want New York to have a moment like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Yeah, if you're in the New York area, come out and help give New York a moment
like that. Here's the other thing, right? Because we play it on Gas Digital. It's going to sell out quickly. You guys can watch it on GasDigitalNetwork.com. I already talked to Ralph about this, and I talked to Patrick. We're just going to put it on YouTube and Facebook Live as well for free that night. It's too big of a show. You know, we want to have as many eyes on it as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
There will be... If I had to guess, once we do the Facebook Live and YouTube and Gas Digital, there's going to probably be 100,000 people watching this thing live.
Yeah.
It's going to be fucking huge. You know, I'm telling you right now, we're going to link up with Facebook. It's going to be a huge battle. It's going to be probably as big as the TV show watching it live.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be great, and it's good for them. Like, I feel like, I know we have like home turf advantage or whatever, but you got to be kind of envious of their position.
Yeah.
They get to come out and have fun. They get a trip to New York, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And if they lose, they can just be like, well, yeah, of
course.
We're
taking the L.A. belt.
But if they win, then it's this huge, huge upset. So the pressure's on us more than them.
I promise you, this is what we're doing with the L.A. belt. You're going to take some pictures with it, but we're taking it. We're throwing it
in
the
garbage
East
like Medusa.
No, we're going to throw it in the East River. We're going to light it on fire, and we're going to throw it in the East River. That's what we're going to do.
All right, man.
Is that okay? Can we do that, Eli?
I don't. Is it?
You want
is
both
it
belts, you
control?
Piece of shit,
dude.
You really want both belts?
We got
on
different
shoulder.
Attitudes, man. You love this talking trash. I just like roasting, and I'm just.
You're
like,
the one who started all.
I did. No, I kickstarted it. I kickstarted all this because I knew
I
had
to create. Behind the scenes. We've been talking behind the scenes about this New York versus LA thing for a little while.
I knew it was coming. I wanted to call it. I wanted to
it was
create.
Perfect.
I wanted to create a moment for myself.
We watched it last week on the show.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I wanted to create a moment for myself. I felt like I didn't feel. As far as this roasting stuff goes, I felt a little, I don't want to say like disrespected, but I feel like for the battles I'd done, I wasn't like mentioned, you know, or anything like that. And so I was like, okay, I can't have another great performance just fly under the radar.
Yeah, you want people
to
talk
about
it. I
have to put an exclamation point on it. And that's basically what I did. And I'm just a wrestling fan, so I just trash talked. And they all get it. No one's offended by that.
No,
you know,
not at all.
I think
great.
They love it.
We got to go further with it. We got to go further. I want to fuck you.
Keith Carey made his video in front of the Belly Room sign.
I woke up to
it. It looked
Keith
like
Harry.
An eclipse.
Yeah. Dude, you know what we should do? We should kidnap their fat autistic kid that jumps around. That the belly room. They have a kid who's autistic.
Like he's their school mascot?
Yeah, we should kidnap him and fucking kill him.
Yeah, then shoot him in the principal's office.
How far are you willing to take
this, man?
We just
fucking write New York City rules in his blood on the fucking lockers.
You're right. Did you think that L.A. did 9/11? Is this why you're so out for blood right now?
It offended me to watch. Like, and look, I was the first one to admit, Zach, you got beat by Matt.
He's great
in that thing. Matt's unbelievable. Matt's so fucking funny. But what I didn't like was L.A. wasn't willing to give our guys a chance. They were laughing so hard at the L.A. guys' setups, and they were just fucking. They weren't giving our guys anything, and it was very biased. It was apparent.
I'm not saying a New York guy even necessarily was going to win it, but everyone losing the first round and like not
anybody who was in that battle in that top 16 is a fucking killer, dude. Here's the cool part that people don't even realize this, right? They had to book a few people like Todd Barry and Jessica Kirsten, the first season Ralphie May, and you know they put some headliners in to kind of give it a little bit more quote unquote star appeal. But it's very friendly to the battlers themselves, and they really did just cherry pick the best battlers from both scenes. It wasn't about people's agents and who they knew.
Yeah,
Jeff Ross, Mike Lawrence, Brian Moses, they literally have a true love for this, and they treat it as its own kind of category of comedy that they've created, and rightfully so. And they really do respect the guys that do it. And you know, I thought it was such a nice moment for them to come to the Roastmasters and basically they took 12 guys out of our tournament and put them in the road
awesome,
to roast.
Man.
I mean, come on. How fucking cool is that? So there's no disrespect.
No,
but
no.
We are going to turn their assholes inside out and fuck their mothers. I'm telling you right now. I'm literally going to take their
moms.
You're so mad. I'm going to throat fuck their moms in front of them while they're bent over with their assholes bleeding.
I obviously did the trash talk and all that, but I'm opposite. The whole fight, like throw the thing in the river, that's hilarious to me. But I'd be like a classy
champ. I'm gonna throw you.
I'd be like a respectful champ.
I'm gonna throw
champ.
You in the river. How about that?
How about that? Yeah. I won't let go of the belt. I want to be respectful. So you're like, well, I'll just fucking throw you in
I
the river then.
I just lit Eli and the belt on fire. And they're
I was
dead.
Being too respectful to LA.
I don't like it. So it is the day after Valentine's Day, Boxing Day. What is there a Boxing Day for Valentine's Day?
I don't know. What is Boxing Day?
Boxing Day. I always get confused about it. Right. I heard that it's the day that people kind of collect all their boxes and shit and packages and throw them out, and it's kind of fucking, you know, whatever. Then I heard that's not true. Then I heard it's the day that people return shit. That's why they call it Boxing Day, because they're reboxing it and bringing it back to return it. It's the day after Christmas.
So it's Planned Parenthood Day.
Yeah. Then it's something about like just in Europe and Canada they get together and just have dinner and eat. So I think that's the real thing. But it's the day after Valentine's Day.
Huh.
It's first of all, are you in a relationship, Zachy? Yeah, you are. Yeah, what am I talking about? I meant Eli, are you?
Yeah.
You are. Okay. Oh, that's right. I know you are in a relationship. Yeah. Okay, so what'd you do for Valentine's Day?
Well, my girl volunteers at a hospital Tuesday nights, so we didn't do anything. We're going to do a dinner about like later. We got a bunch of shit going on, so we got dinner. I got her some candy, though.
That's okay.
Yeah, you got to do
what
something.
What type of hospital? Like it's a regular hospital?
Yeah.
It's like sick kids or something?
I don't know.
You don't even know.
Just
is that standard. Where you met her? You were dying of cancer?
She's
like, I'm
going
to take this one home. She nursed you back
keep
to health.
Eric Bergstrom just banging on a glass window.
No, she just started.
Why wouldn't you pick me?
She's a good woman. So she goes and
great.
Volunteers. So that's the way she spent her Valentine's Day. That's a good
Yeah, right? That's pretty selfless.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Zachy, what'd you check? You guys just fucking ate?
No,
rolled
we
around
didn't do
and
anything.
Fucking
She has school Tuesday nights right now, so we're gonna go out this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, people don't really care. Shannon, did you do anything for Valentine's Day?
I put together my new cat tree.
Yeah, massage your boobs.
Yeah,
Shannon, you should check yourself for breast cancer weekly on the Real Ass Podcast. That should be the bit. Shannon checks herself for breast cancer. So you didn't do anything. You just fucking stayed at home. Nobody cares anymore. You know, I got to be honest with you, as we shouldn't. We really shouldn't care. It's just a stupid holiday. You know?
And it's like they like restaurants jack up prices that day. It's stupid. It's like, yeah, it's kind of a scheme.
I think you should, if you're with a chick or a dude, you shouldn't need a reason to fucking go out. Just go out. Get a drink. Have sex. Like, you know, who gives a shit? If you are waiting for those special holidays for the excuse. It reminds me of people going and drinking on New Year's Eve or like St. Paddy's Day.
Or church on Easter. Like church is filled on Easter.
Yeah, it's like, what do you just do it? If you want to go to church, just go to church one day.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to get drunk, why do I need to wait till New Year's Eve to get hammered? Like, what do you need this excuse? We're adults, you know? So you step back from it and you realize, like, oh shit, it is literally just, you know, I don't want to say like a Hallmark holiday, but it's like they're almost like designed. Like, why do they even exist, these holidays? You know, like
New Year's is the worst. That to me, that's the most bullshit holiday. It just makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, look, I understand like they're restarting. There's something mentally good about kind of restarting.
I feel like Christmas already kind of is that. Like, you don't need another day. Like, it's just random when you could pick this New Year day. Every day is a year from that day last year. I don't get it.
Yeah. Have you guys ever gotten anything good from like a chick as a gift? Not even necessarily for Valentine's Day, just like in general. Have you ever given anything?
Not gifts. Usually it's like meals or something like that.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, food is always fucking good. Yeah, I used to do that all the time.
When I was like in high school, my answers were meatloaf based. Yeah.
The music or the food?
Yeah, both.
Nice.
It's an entire evening.
What a fucking night, right? Just eating a fucking bacon wrapped meatloaf, listening to
Meatloaf blaring.
Bat Out of Hell.
Turn on some Bat Out of Hell right now. What is that song? Something by the Dashboard Light?
Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Solid song. Solid song.
Never heard it.
No, yeah, you have.
I'll hear it. Best seduction karaoke song.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to just fucking make eye contact with a girl and creep her out, that's it. Pull it up. I'd love to listen to some music. You never heard this?
No.
Shut the fuck up.
I haven't.
How old are you?
31.
It's impossible that you haven't heard this. Turn it up.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Okay.
Come on, bro.
Yeah, I've heard this.
It's Meatloaf. It never felt so good. It never felt so right. Meatloaf, I mean, really, there's just no more gross entertainers. We talked about this last week as well. Like, there's just no ugly entertainers. Keep it on, Shannon. I want to listen to
this. Did you see our roast battle? There are ugly entertainers.
No, I'm talking about, like, real entertainers, not open mic comedians. They spend their fucking Tuesday nights. It's their world to them. I thought it was going to be such a big announcement too, New York versus LA, and it just shows you how small it is to us, because the picture, which is an awesome image, has like 35 likes.
Yeah, really, it's just a specific niche of people that are into
that
it.
That really care.
It's just each other's friends talking shit about each other.
Yeah. It's nice.
In
it's
the comment
nice to
section.
Hear. Well, here's the thing. People like watching each other's feelings be hurt.
Yeah.
So there's something about watching somebody have their feelings hurt and then them kind of like laugh about it. And it's almost like a stress release, you know? It's like, oh, that guy was just called fat and he doesn't care. It's like, ah, we were all thinking that.
Yeah, and it might be that maybe there's a fat guy who, like, it's just like release. Like, it's like, I get to hear this. You don't need to hear it, but someone else took it.
We're told
someone
that we're not supposed to say these things. We're not supposed to hear these things. We're told that everybody's equal. We're told that black people and white people are equal and gay
women
people
are... Women are funny.
Yeah. His whole documentary about it. But we're told this constantly, and it's constantly just forced down our throat. And we're all going like, yeah, we get it. And everyone agrees that it's like kind of bullshit. We all know that there's differences between people. We all agree that fucking Puerto Ricans are garbage, right? But we all pretend that it's not the case. And then you get something like a roast battle or like really good comedy, like an edgy show you watch. I've been watching It's Always Sunny recently. Yeah. These motherfuckers are smoking crack on the show. It's just hilarious. You know, it's so funny. People aren't supposed to smoke crack, and you go like, yes, that's fucking ridiculous. I love this character because they're going there, and it's very refreshing because nobody's doing that now. Everyone is so safe in comedy. Comedy Central, like, I'm watching the shit that they're putting out, the content they're putting out. The video that we did, you know, they literally made it look like we were somber and sad that Trump was president. It looked like it was a fucking funeral that we were at, the way they shot it.
It was like a gray background.
Yeah, it was like, no, we're being funny. Like, we were writing some pretty funny jokes.
Yeah, we were having a great time.
We're laughing a lot.
That was the most fun I've had in an inauguration.
Yeah,
that was
by far.
Easily.
Yeah. But the whole industry is kind of like, we have this, like, I watched another thing the other day. I guess I'll skip ahead. But there was a chick who, she got mad at me. And I don't want people to shit on her because I don't want to say her name. This is number 5, Shannon. There's a video that they created, the same girl, but created another web series where her and female comics just talk about crying and things that they cry about. And I was just like, Jesus Christ. It's like, that's what's happening right now. Like, you're crying. Like, that's what comedians are doing. It's like, we're sad. We're sad because Trump's president. Come on. We're supposed to be the fucking leaders. We're supposed to be, you know, showing people the light. We're supposed to be looking for the funny and all this bullshit. And fucking our fans are supposed to go, yeah, dude, thanks for a break from all the horse shit. Thanks for a break from the sadness and this feeling that I'm helpless. Whether you like Trump or whether you don't like Trump, you know, that's it. So there's a video that was made and it's called What Really Happens in the Secret Lady Facebook Groups. And if you guys don't know what this is,
one of them really was a secret lady.
For a sec. There's these groups online, and they're in a lot of industries. They have them, and they're basically they're groups designed for really it's really women. Guys aren't doing this to come in and discuss their trials and tribulations within the industry. And there's like four or five of these lady Facebook groups. A lot of the times what they do is they get together and they like to flame dudes and they like to shame guys for being fucking bro-y. And and girls will send these messages. I get them all the time from girls that I know that are comics. And they're like, oh, they're talking shit on you on this. And then they send me a screen cap. And so that's their whole thing. But it's this whole like this whole society. And they think it fucking matters. They think these little things really matter. The same way we think the roast battle matters. You know, it reminds me of that, where it's like, well, no, it doesn't really. I know that it matters to you guys, but it doesn't, right? So they made this video, and Shannon, what did I say in my post? Do you have my actual post up from Facebook? All I said was, if you guys have ever wondered what really happens in the Secret Lady Facebook groups.
Subtext, look at these dumb cunts.
You know, maybe there was a little subtext there. But I know, here's the thing, I didn't say though.
You absolutely
and,
did
and
not.
I'll tell you why. Because I, you know, not that I'm a fucking pussy, but I work with these people. I work with female comics, okay? And I respect everybody. I have a weird thing where we're all brethren, right? I feel like if we're, you know, you just do an open mic once, or if you got a fucking TV show, it doesn't matter. We're all kind of in this thing.
We're in it
right?
together, yeah.
Yeah, I have this weird, stupid, romantic fucking view of what stand-up comedy is, right? So I never troll comics. Even comics that I don't like, I don't have my fans attack them. I specifically say don't.
Comics calling out comics is the worst thing.
It's the worst thing in the world. I shit on comics for doing that all the time. So even if it's something that I don't agree with you on, but in my opinion, this is something that I thought was an interesting talking point, and I don't agree with a lot of the stuff that's in the video. But at the same time, are you not making a video for people to have a discussion and to talk about the other viewpoints? You know, so here I'll because I don't want to give the girl's name because I know some of our fans are assholes and do fucking troll people, and I don't want you guys to do that to anybody ever. I legitimately just want to kind of talk about this. But this girl got mad at me because I posted that. Play some of the video, Shannon. Let's play some of it, and then we'll get into it.
I moved to New York in 06. The first open mic I ever did, I was the only woman, and the host made a funny joke that wouldn't it be funny if they closed the doors and they gang raped me.
You know Daniel Tosh? Hello, friends. I know the internet is a terrible place, but can we please stop referring to it as a dumpster fire? What I'm trying to say is thesaurus.com is a free website. Check it out sometime. But not every inch of the internet is a mephitic alluvium. You know, there are some pockets of relative calm. For instance, the Secret Lady Facebook group. These are private Facebook groups started by women with common interests. And they're especially popular with female comedians.
Suppose for a second.
A group of them recently...
Now, you know, when you talk about like relative calm, I mean, these are also groups that go through the process of trying to destroy male comedians. You know, there's like guys that have been, you know... And like I said, I'm not a rape apologist, and I don't defend, you know, guys that attack women or guys that attack men for that matter. It doesn't even matter. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying a lot of these groups. The reason that guy Aaron Glazer is suing a bunch of fucking female comics is because that shit originated in that group. So it's not necessarily this corner and safe haven where you go like, oh, we're devoid of any trolling and any bullshit. It's like, well, no. There's a guy whose career has been all but ruined. I don't know if he's a rapist, but he's fighting pretty vehemently to get back at the women that have dragged his name through the mud. So,
and he will not take no for an answer.
But I mean, that's the truth. I think there's a few lawsuits right now. I don't know if he's winning money or whatever it is. But that's not a rumor. He legitimately is suing people, and that whole thing originated in one of these groups. So to act like it's kind of devoid of drama and it's just like everyone's sharing common interests. No. You girls go in there and you talk shit on other girls that you don't like, guys that you don't like. It's kind of a place to go and gossip. And to put a spin on it, like it's this like, oh, well, ladies are just helping ladies. Let's just call a spade here. You guys are fucking gossiping and shitting on a lot of guys. And that is a very big portion of the group use it. I'm not saying that there's not women that use it to network and to get shit out there. But I think that's what's fun about it. That's what's fun about social media in general. You know,
is the trolling?
No, the just the trash talk and the likes and the going back and forth and the engagement.
I think when they started it, I understand. I think they wanted it to be what you said. They're acting like it is, and I think that in any that drama free troll free that place just doesn't exist.
Yeah,
like no matter what group, the loud kind of shitty ones are gonna like emerge to the top and ruin it for everyone else, basically.
Yeah. So, yeah, play a little more of the video. That's fine.
Recently agreed to give me an exclusive look into their mysterious world. This is the first time cameras have been allowed inside a secret lady Facebook group. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Thank you so much for talking to me today. We are discussing the secret lady Facebook group. Who here is in a secret lady Facebook group? Everyone. Me. Selena and Katie.
Stop,
you guys started one
Sorry.
Of the first groups.
Pause it for a second, because you were one of the ones who made a comment at this girl, and the reason I'm getting shit is because of the comments that were made on the video that my friends, fans, and fellow comedians, brethren, are making.
That was not a transphobic comment.
I'm going to defend you.
Yes.
I'm going to defend you.
If anything, that was calling myself genderless.
Yeah, Zach said, what was the comment you made?
I don't remember filming this, but I look great as a redhead.
Yeah, there's a trans girl in the back, right? And can I defend Zach here for a second? Zach fucks men. I feel like if you fuck men,
you should be allowed to make that joke.
You can make that joke. You know, this isn't a fucking dude, bro. This isn't Stone Cold Steve Austin chugging a beer and going, "Hey, what up, tranny?" I mean, you would suck that tranny's
you
whatever
got balls
it has
under that skirt. What?
I mean.
Got an Adam's apple? What?
It's a big old clip. What? But you would suck fuck whatever that has under there. Like, you know, maybe not that one in particular. I don't know if you're attracted to that one. But I feel like you can't give somebody shit if they're attracted to it, if they hang. Like, I have a very good friend who's transgendered. I make jokes to her all the time about it, and I almost feel like it's never transgendered or gay people that don't have the sense of humor about their sexuality. It's always all of the other women that are sitting in the room going like, oh, yeah, you know. I almost feel like
it's people getting offended on someone else's behalf.
Yeah, and it's white women who are the most the most privilege afforded group of people in the world. Pretty white women with TV shows. Are you kidding me? Pretty white women with TV shows. And
even the black girls in that video are pretty white.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus Christ here. What are we talking about here? I'm a Puerto Rican man. He's borderline homosexual monster, whatever he is, okay? We can make these jokes. I feel like this is not being recognized. I can make jokes about fucking...
I identify as the red furry monster from Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
It's all white people doing it. We know the dudes who are like that too, though. The worst.
The worst.
Yeah.
Little fucking white knight bitches. So go, play some more. Let's go.
That I know of.
Selena used to do like live networking events for female comedians.
And then Katie, who's much more tech savvy, was like, oh, you could make a Facebook group. So in October of 2011, so this is going pretty far back, Katie created the group and we were the first, you know, we were the first two members. And it was for female comedians in New York to network, book each other on stuff, collaborate. And it was great at first.
Once the group got started and you started talking to other women about their experiences and how similar they were to your own experiences, and then you realize dudes have had this all along, that's what made me mad.
Yeah, that's
it was just like, oh my God, they had this.
So their point is that like dudes have been able to network with each other all along, and that's why they need these groups because women can't do that. I mean, I got to be honest with you. It's like, you know, network, fine, do the group, but it's like, just fucking talk to each other. I don't know what else you want me to say. Women are constantly getting each other's backs, okay? Constantly. Dudes are cutthroat. I will step over Eli's dead body to get one more fucking credit. Not even paid, like red eye. Another red eye date, like kill Eli and step over his body in a heartbeat, okay? We are cutthroat. We're in this business for ourselves. This is a one-man sport. This isn't fucking, you know, we help each other out. We lift each other up. But you could only do that so much. And I feel like, and I don't, this is not a knock on any of the women in that video, because I actually don't know anybody's stand-up except for Sarah's. And Sarah's a funny stand-up. But from that video, I don't know any of those girls' stand-up, right? But typically, people that are looking for the excuses for the reason why they're not getting the opportunities are the people that typically aren't that funny. You know, they're always the ones that are going like, oh, well, I'm not in this club. I'm not in that club. Or this guy's not booking me. And they're always going, oh, it's because they don't work enough black people. I hear that about the stand a lot. Oh, they don't look out for black and women. Are you kidding me? Their entire roster is black. Are you out of your fucking mind? Yeah. Everyone they manage, they are trying to take the fucking black angle and take it to another level, right? And the same thing with women. There's women on every single show at the stand, and they're one of the clubs who I think they play the political affirmative action angle a little bit, much more so than a lot of the other clubs. So I can't buy that there's not opportunities for women to network and to feel safe and to feel as if they can communicate. There's just constant, since I've been a child, I've been being told, as long as I can remember, since I have my first thoughts, I've been told that women are equal to men. Anything that you can do, I can do better. I remember that song from when I was a kid, and there was the girl playing baseball and singing it to the boy. It was just something that was ingrained in my mind, you know? And I understand that there's systematic oppression and there's other factors come there. But let's stop pretending that you guys don't have a lot of opportunities handed to you without being a tenth as funny as a lot of your male counterparts. It's a fact, you know? Same thing as a Hispanic person. I don't really play the angle, but there's a lot of Hispanic people that get afforded opportunities because they're Hispanic that maybe a white guy that's 10 times as funny has to work, you know, fucking
10 times as hard.
Yeah.
But that can be a blessing in disguise, though. If you just fly under the radar for 15 years just getting good and the industry's not, like, looking at you really, and then you just emerge
15 as, like, years as like a the radar, killer. You might fucking kill yourself in 15 years. 15 years of the radar blows. That you're describing me, dude. I've been doing comedy for 12 years. I've been flying under the radar for a long time. It's
same,
not great.
Man. But people who get breaks, they're kind of fucked, you know? They're in a position they're not ready for a lot of the time. Yeah. And then it comes back on them. Sometimes. So it seems good, you know what I mean? But to me, I wouldn't want that, you know?
Yeah, you don't want the easy route. I wish it was a little easier, though. I got to be honest. But women, white women, pretty white women sitting in a room complaining is just fucking bananas to me. Play a little more of this video. And they're actually kind of about to make the point that we just made where, because they said at first it was great and then it kind of becomes this thing. So continue to play the video.
The whole time, and we just got this.
And it was powerful to share those horror stories, mm-hmm. you know? Like, I moved to New York in 06, the first open mic I ever did. I was the only woman, and the host made a funny joke that wouldn't it be funny if they closed the doors and they gang-raped me.
You know Daniel Tosh?
Can I tell you the problem with that? That was produced. That joke was said in the room naturally,
that was
right?
A bad guy.
And it was funny when it happened in the moment, and then they were like, oh, we have to recreate that. I've just watched shit shot before.
Yeah.
That was not a natural reaction. They filmed it. They went back to her. You know, the camera cut to her directly when she was delivering the line.
She said it with the confidence that she already heard it kill once, and that fucked it up.
Yeah.
It fucks it up if you say it, you ham it up like, this is so funny. You got to say it natural.
Yeah, it was poor. And I mean, to be honest with you, you know, you guys are kind of taking a shit on Daniel Tosh. You know, I always felt weird about that, too. It's like, how many comics are going to come out and shit on Daniel Tosh? That other guy that just threw Seinfeld under the bus a couple weeks ago. You know, it's like, guys, we're fucking comics. We're all trying here. We've all made stupid jokes. Tosh made a dumb fucking joke. It was also kind of a turning point in the industry where people weren't really talking about what people were saying in clubs as much.
Yeah.
It was Kramer and then Tosh years later.
Yeah.
You know, and you look at what Kramer did versus what Tosh did. Tosh made a, you know, it was off color. He shouldn't have made that joke. I gotta be honest with you. Like, I wouldn't make that joke today. I understand how it would be funny in the moment and it's about timing, but it's just a different time today. You have people that legitimately cringe at shit like that. So my instinct would be not to go there.
Yeah.
But Kramer was screaming nigger out to a fucking bunch of black people, and they almost had the same type of outrage. If you look at what they did, there was the same outrage for both of these guys, people calling for their job. And he goes,
there's the same amount of outrage for something like that as there was when people were like slaughtered in Brussels.
Yes.
Like, right?
Yes.
The outrage on Facebook is equal no matter what. And it cheapens it. It cheapens real tragedies when you act like someone saying something icky is the end of the fucking world.
Exactly. And it's the same thing with the Trump and everyone calling his followers Nazis. You're like, guys, there's Nazis out there and you're really cheapening what they do to people.
Dude, when Richard Spencer got punched, I just saw a white supremacist punched. And I didn't think it was because I've heard everyone be called a white supremacist these last couple years. So I thought, oh, a conservative got punched. I didn't know. I looked up his Twitter. This dude's fucking batshit. Yeah, this dude's a fucking Nazi. I wouldn't have known
He's not actually a Nazi. He is batshit, though. He is definitely a white nationalist. And, you know, here's the deal, right? This is the way that I feel about all of this. If you are going to have this type of rhetoric and you're going to say things that are going to incite anger out of people, a byproduct of that is somebody might punch you in the face. Yeah. So you should maybe just watch out. I don't condone somebody being punched for their words, ever. We're comics. I say shit that a lot of people would go, oh, yeah. I mean, I just said nigger a few minutes ago, right? In the context of a conversation. I'm a brown person. But there are people that might go, that's fucking racist. That guy's a Nazi. That guy will use that word. Anybody who uses that word is inciting hate. Anybody who's used that word is inciting black people to be rounded up and to be sent back to Africa. There are people who truly feel that way, that just hearing that word or using that word, it incites something bigger than just using the word, right?
Yeah.
I would have said it, but I got it out of my system before we recorded.
He does like vocal warm-ups. Time to warm our niggers. Yeah. Ready, set, let's go. So, but I think that you have, I feel like you can't, as a comic, I get concerned with where we're going, where other comedians are cheering that behavior on and going like, oh yeah, he's a Nazi, good, hit him. You go, it's like, well, hold on. Let him have his fucking thoughts. Who gives a shit? Don't follow him. Don't, you know, you guys don't have to go on Twitter. Here's, you just said it yourself. You said, I didn't even know who this guy was. And then I went on his Twitter and I was like, holy shit, this guy's a fucking Nazi. Well, here's the deal. You would have no feeling toward this man. He would have no effect on your life if you didn't go on his Twitter. So people just need to get offline sometimes.
Yeah.
People need to stop fucking like, I don't know. Milo Yiannopoulos does not affect my life in any capacity. The only time I hear about Milo Yiannopoulos is when I go on Facebook or Twitter or I turn on some bullshit news because now the news is following social media. So it doesn't affect my life. If I go to the supermarket, nobody's talking about Milo.
Yeah. The only time I hear about it is when people, I hear it from liberals who are mad. Like, I wouldn't, this guy would have no reach if y'all weren't, I think the whole internet crowds people, they don't have much talent. They don't have much ambition. Here's a chance for them to feel big and tear someone down or do anything. It's on both sides of it.
He's a homosexual, which is the funniest part of all of
that
it.
That is pretty funny.
Like, oh, he's inciting hate towards gays. I watched a woman today go on a show. I just watched, it was a middle school teacher, talking about how Milo's inciting hate towards gays. I was like, he's a homosexual who openly talks about being a bottom to black men. Are you crazy? Like, what is going on here? Like, just get your facts
taking
straight.
The old Zach Amico approach to hate speech, are you?
You can't say this.
Fuck dudes just for the gay jokes?
Yeah, look, dude, to be honest with you.
You're welcome.
It's a good idea.
It's a good angle. It's not a bad angle. All right, play a little more of the video.
Learn how to, like, avoid predators, you know? Like, really simple, basic stuff that, like, men don't deal with when they're doing comedy. They're not thinking about, oh, shit, is this person following me home to my car?
What people don't realize is when they see in the news,
but
you
that's
know,
also
or
not
just
comedy
online.
Specific, you know? I almost
that's,
feel
that's
like...
Life. I agree that life is sexist, you know? I agree that this
yeah,
shit is everywhere,
but
you know?
So here's the thing, Eli, and this is not... I'm not knocking you. I know I'm busting balls a lot here, right?
Yeah, give a shit.
You are physically a lot... weaker than me, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I don't. Maybe you, because I know you've done jujitsu and shit. Maybe I'm just wrong. But just at a,
I did a jujitsu class.
Okay. At a glance, you're a much skinnier guy. You know, you're nearly half my size. So you actually have the same exact concern. And to be honest with you, men are violently attacked at a much higher rate than women in this country. Little things like just a guy punching you, that happens. Like, you'll walk through the hood through the wrong neighborhood. You'll be attacked. That's a legitimate fear for smaller men as well. And if you looked at the numbers, I would almost guarantee you smaller white men get physically attacked more than women, just in general.
Yeah, that's a great point. Okay? I do think what could happen to a woman, though, is worse than what could. I mean, death is obviously the worst, but like, I'd rather get punched in the face than what could. I guess I could. Not way less likely, though. It's way less likely they want, you know?
If you got raped, I don't know. Look, we've joked about this on the show as well. If I got raped, it wouldn't be as bad as a woman getting raped, because I'm funny and I would find a lot of funny things in that angle. We would talk about it on the show. We would have fucking my rape-iversary every month or every year, and it would be pretty good. We'd try to get some fucking Periscope of it. I mean, in the moment, it would probably suck, but for me personally, you know, I know that it wouldn't be that bad. Zach, same thing. You know, it would blow, but. So I get it. For a woman, it's probably bad.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, but there are men that don't have the same type of sense of humor as me. Like, if you got raped, it might affect you. it might destroy your life.
Yeah, but that would be funny, too. I mean, there's a way to make it funny.
Yeah.
The reason we do this shit is because we channel everything through
the
funny
filter. I don't think that women, I don't know if it's because they're less funny than men, but I don't think that women are ever trying to make their rapes funny. I mean, that's not true. I've heard women
I've heard women do
and
good
talk
rape
about
jokes.
It.
Yeah, definitely.
Karen had a great rape joke against Caitlin Bailey.
I don't remember the joke, but I remember that
happening.
Caitlin
Bailey has been raped 4 times, but only deserved 3 of them. It could be funny, you know, but once again, Caitlin had a laugh at that. If Caitlin got upset about that, that would have made the room shut down.
Oh, yeah, everyone would have been weird. Yeah.
You know? So, all right, continue.
Twitter, when there's, you know, a man in our community is being exposed as a predator, rapist, you know, assaulting women, that they don't realize that a lot of times those accusations originated in these groups.
I think it's only within the last few years that it's even been possible to, like, make these connections and have these spaces where you could say it and have someone else if they had a similar experience.
The nice thing about these groups with that is I think that
can be so powerful for anybody who's been a victim of something is to just have a page full of people saying, I believe you.
This leads me to my next question, which is, we've talked a lot about these groups being a safe space. The problem is that these groups, is even though we're calling them secret, you know, they're not. It's an illusion of privacy.
Yes.
And it only works if everyone in the group is playing by the same rules,
yeah,
and that there's a circle of trust.
No.
Well, I know we closed down NYC Lady Comics because people inside the group were taking screenshots.
Yeah, I got a lot of
private conversations
while we were on
within
the air.
Group and sending them out to
me and Michael
guys
Che
and
would
to
share them with
members.
Each other.
98% of what was going on in there was really awesome, very benign networking. And once in a blue moon, a guy's actual name would be dropped.
You don't necessarily
know
everything.
So here's the deal, right? Yeah, but you're describing the internet in general, right? No, 98% of what goes on Twitter and on Reddit is actually really cool. Dude, Reddit gets such a bad reputation. I go on Reddit all the time, okay? I go on Reddit space, r/space, all the time. There's no trolls in 98% of those pages. I'm just like, because I don't know why. I get lost. I get high, and then I get lost in these things where I'm looking at the fucking rings of Saturn, right? Or just some new thing. They have a new telescope that we can see fucking the next galaxy, and there's 100 other planets that we're discovering, right? Shit like that just kind of like, I don't know. Like, I'm not really interested in space, but that's just an example of, you know, I'll get lost on a fucking little Reddit journey, right? So you're talking about the internet in general. It's like, yeah, no. Like, most of the time, it's not bad. Most of the time, most people on Twitter, most of my followers are great. I get one or two assholes a day that tweet me shit. But the negative shit, it was what seeps through. And the negative shit is kind of what gets you a bad reputation.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's kind of why these girls, and she's probably right. It probably is a lot of great networking, you know? But what they should do is they should nip the other shit in the bud. Like, if I have my fans trolling people, right? If I see my fans writing shitty stuff
to
people.
You said at the beginning of this episode, don't do that. Yeah.
I'll tell them to stop. Yeah. I'll delete their comments. There was so many comments that were underneath this video that were legitimately mean and shitty that I deleted because I'm not going to let that represent me. This is something that I can control. I have my Facebook wall, right? So I'm not going to let my guys be shitty to people that are maybe they're not my friends, but they're peers and coworkers of mine. Zach made a funny joke. Honestly, like I said, he fucks dudes. I'm not going to fucking edit that because I didn't think it was shitty. It was in the sense of being funny, and he was making fun of himself at the same time. But the comments were, I'll read some of these comments. You know, Greg K, there goes my heart on. Joe Burke, that Riley girl is smoking. That's a trans girl. Paul Guck, wow. Oh, another one. Oh, the cringe. I may not know what goes on, but I know it definitely does not go on. Funny jokes.
I do want to make the point of, can you imagine putting six guy comedians in a room for something like this and nobody trying to make a joke?
Nothing
for this
at all
long?
Yeah, I mean, Jesus Christ, we fucking do podcasts every, we try to make them funny, at least we try to throw some shit out, you know. You know, I mean, these are the comments. I'm not even exaggerating. That Asian gal who says dudes never have to worry about predators or being followed to their car after a show is crazy ignorant. I've literally had a guy attempt to get in my car, as well as a guy pull a box cutter after shows. So yeah, I don't have to worry about sexual violence, but there's plenty of other violence to go around. Why would someone even make this video? You know, it definitely doesn't happen. Joke writing. You know, huh? So I'm reading all the comments because I want to show you what this girl's upset about. Huh? Surprise! I don't recognize any of them. Been doing stand up comedy in NYC since at least 2011. God, they stink. As a member of the patriarchy, I demand to be a part of this group. I'll mansplain some sense into them. I mean, these are the comments. That's every comment on that thing. Pretty fucking mild.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you want me to say here? You know, like, this is pretty mild. So one of the producers of it, who I know pretty well, I've known for a long time, wrote me this message underneath the comments. Hey, Luis J. Gomez, I'm sorry the series wasn't your cup of tea. I worked really hard at getting this show made and was very proud of it, and I'm super proud of it. I'm also proud of helping you get one of your first TV appearances ever.
Damn.
When you shit on people's work and stir up your MRA, men's right activist fans, whose criticism includes demeaning the way a trans woman looks, it only proves the need for the series more. Thanks for the views. So, you know, here's the deal, right? Like, first of all, my first TV appearance, let me make this very clear. I did Guy Code, and it was my first TV appearance, okay? She had nothing to do with the getting me on the show. I mean, maybe she was one of the people who gave me the green light or whatever it is, but I came in for an audition, and it was a taped audition. they used the footage from the taped audition, which I signed off on. I got paid $200 in cash in an envelope. Okay, this is before Guy Code had ever launched. This is when it was a concept. This is for the pilot, okay? Or for the first season. It was like episode 7 or 8, right? Simple as that. They fucking use it, $200. They didn't put my Twitter handle. They didn't use the J. They didn't use my middle initial, which I know I sound like a fucking asshole about, but it's important.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it was something that I literally couldn't promote to people because that's not what I go by. And it was embarrassing that the network wouldn't even care enough to do the research. And I'm not even really bitter about that. That's fine. But I think I did a great job. I was very funny. I came in prepared and they didn't bring me back. They fucking made people into stars off that show. I can see if they fucking brought me back for 3 episodes and I bombed and like, no, I did great that first episode. I was really good, and they didn't bring me back. So I don't feel like I owe some sort of fucking, like, oh my God, you know, I'm not going to criticize any work you ever do, which, by the way, I didn't criticize. Also, I didn't know she had anything to do with this video. Not that it would have even fucking mattered.
All these comments are just on, you posted it, like, on your Facebook.
Yeah.
Okay, well then, it's not like you're sending it to, like, it's not like one of them posted it and then they're getting attacked on their own page or anything like that. This is your page.
This is my page. That and makes, on top of that, I shared it in a way, like, yes, I don't agree with the content of the video and I knew I was going to talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
But I shared it in a way where I didn't fucking lead and say, look at these dumb cunts, like, oh, fucking, look at these morons and what they think. Like, I was like, this, if you've ever wondered what happened in the lady Facebook groups, which is the name of the fucking video, check this video out.
And I do think if what they would say is right, like, oh, your fans are all sexist MRAs, that those are the people that this video is supposed to be reaching, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole point of it.
You want to have your perspective go out to the people, not just people that agree with you. It's actually the problem with feminism and the left in general, is they're looking for people to just cheerlead them and go, oh, great job, great video. Why do you not want somebody to go, well, here, let me talk about the other side of this?
No, they'll cut someone like that down, man. It sucks.
It's crazy.
It's insane. That's how fucking Trump won. Someone comes along and pretends to listen to these other people, and then, yeah, of course they're going to vote him in.
Yeah, so, you know, whatever. We kind of went back and forth, and it wasn't even a fucking big deal, but it's like, if you're going to make agenda-driven content, right, expect people to troll you, you know? I made this point to her. It's like what we're doing with our lives, if you get to the point where she is, where she's producing TV shows or I'm doing stand-up comedy for a living and this is what I do, I talk into microphones for work, we're pretty lucky. It's a pretty amazing fucking existence. You know, how are you, somebody sharing your video and some people make some comments that aren't, and by the way, you're treating the trans woman, you're separating her. You're putting her in a separate category. Okay, because I'd make a fucking joke about whether it's a woman, male, whoever it is. I don't give a fuck, okay? You're the person that's saying she needs to be in her own special little box. And I think that's fucked up. As a brown person, I get offended when I watch white people at rallies holding up signs about brown people's rights. And I'm going like, guys, I got it. I don't feel like my rights are being violated as a brown person in this country. I truly don't feel that. I feel like there's a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, but that in that case, the signs are all spelled right.
That's annoying because they're not... It's all about them. They're making it about themselves. It's about them holding the sign. It's not about your actual rights.
Well, the left
pisses me off with that shit, man.
Yeah. They all want, and including with this video, they kind of just want the accolade for saying the message and doing it, but they don't want the conversation, you know? And I think that's comedy. It's about the conversation. Finding funny.
Yeah, and it's got to be uncomfortable. Taking the discomfort out of comedy, you're killing comedy. What the fuck is the point?
Completely agreed. Completely agreed. All right, gentlemen, I want to just talk about one of our sponsors really quick, which is Blue Apron, blueapron.com. Eli, how are you cooking? You a good cook?
No.
Terrible.
I need it laid out for me.
This is it. You just said it, Eli.
Really?
You just named what they do. They lay it the fuck out for you, okay? Guys like you and I, we're not going to be able to go and learn how to be culinary, you know, whatever. It took me years to figure out how to just get the right setting on the stove for eggs.
Yeah. Or just going to the grocery store sucks.
I'm not buying spices. I'm not buying all the extra little shit. If you look in my cabinets, I have what I need. I buy what I want for that day and then I eat it. And that's how a lot of people are in New York City. A lot of people are young people. A lot of dudes are the same way. So Blue Apron, what it does is it makes it easy to cook fresh meals with amazing ingredients. They're delivered directly to your door. Every ingredient you need for these meals, easy to follow instructions with big pictures. Everything is measured out. All the spices are measured out. You have step-by-step instructions to make unbelievable food for you, your family, your loved ones, your girlfriend, whatever it is. Think about this, Eli. It was just Valentine's Day last night. Imagine your chick, right, after a long day of helping cancer patients survive and being their rock. She comes home, and then she has a cashew chicken stir fry with tango, mandarins, and jasmine rice sitting on the table. And you're like, Holy shit. Bitch, you know what I did? I made this for you.
Yeah, no way am I making that without no boxes.
I don't think that you could just do the jasmine rice. I think there'd be a real problem, right? So you're going to do all that, and she's going to come home, and what she's going to do is she's going to take her clothes off, and she's going to give you the greatest night of sex of your entire life. It's a fact, okay? Some of the meals they have coming up on Blue Apron: roasted pork with apple, walnut, and farro salad, crispy barramundi with quinoa and roasted carrot salad. I don't know what crispy barramundi is. Is that a fish?
Never even heard of it.
What's barramundi? You know, I'm just saying barramundi to a girl. Like, I got you barramundi, baby. Think about it.
They'll be all over, man.
She's done.
Oh, I'll be so horny.
She's done. I'm getting horny just saying the word barramundi. Udon noodle with miso and soft-boiled eggs. I mean, we're talking about like lots of different diversity, different types of meals. It's a really amazing.
And they never repeat.
They never repeat.
That's
you could have
insane.
A different meal every day if you want to choose
one. You get
the
satisfaction of like feeling like you made something, but it wasn't that hard.
Yeah,
You get laid, like you said, no blue balls with Blue Apron.
That's exactly
slogan.
That really should be the blue balls. And every meal is less than $10 per person. They deliver seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients. They make it delicious. Choose a bunch of different stuff. You can customize your recipes based off of your preferences. Blue Apron has several delivery options, so you can choose what fits your needs. And there's no weekly commitment, so you get deliveries when you want them. So here's the deal, man. Here's the deal. You go on to blueapron.com, check out this week's menu and you get your first three meals for free. Free shipping and free meals. Three meals, blueapron.com/real. blueapron.com/REAL. You're going to love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So do not wait. That's blueapron.com/real. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. And as we are plugging and chugging, I want to also talk about exclusive membership to the Gas Digital Network. You might be listening to the show right now on iTunes or Google Play or you know, various podcast apps, and that's great. We love you listening to the show, and we appreciate it. But we do the show live every Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern. You could watch the show live. We have a video version of the show. You could join the chat. You get the live stream. You get all of the archived episodes, because you see on iTunes there's only 10 episodes archived. Plus, all of the episodes come out 5 days early. Before they go to iTunes or Google Play. So you get everything to do with the Real Ass Podcast earlier, bigger, better, the better versions of it. And it's only $6 a month if you use the promo code RAP when you check out at gasdigitalnetwork.com. It's normally $7 a month. You save $1 a month. It also helps out our show directly because we get a little bit of a kickback from that, which is awesome. There's a bunch of other great shows in the network. So not only do you get access to the Real Ass Podcast, but you get access to all the exclusive content for the Joss the Show, Legion of Skanks, High Society Radio, Bruce Buffer's It's Time, the ring announcer for the UFC. Michael Bisping's show is starting this March. We have a brand new show, which will be the biggest show on the network. This is the gentleman who's been doing broadcasting and radio for a long time. He's coming back to broadcasting exclusively through Gas Digital. I can't announce it yet. Any day now, we're going to be announcing who this is. And I'm so excited about this. So please go sign up for subscription at gasdigitalnetwork.com. And then in the very worst case scenario, if you can't do that, you can always buy a t-shirt, gasdigitalnetwork.com. The store is open. Grab a Real Ass Dude t-shirt and lots more other stuff. All right, I want to move on. I want to talk about this really quick because I'm really trying not to be that dad where I, you know, am homophobic about my kid or worrying about, because like, I'm a fucking duty dude, right? But a lot of people don't know this about me. I grew up as kind of a goth kid. I used to wear eyeliner, and I was a Marilyn Manson fan, a Nine Inch Nails fan. I was in a band. I wasn't a jock. I was a fat kid. So people see me now and they see this, like, I love MMA and I fucking,
Yeah, dude, you're a psycho.
Yeah, people, you know, I get it. But I'm not really, I'm not that guy. You know, deep down in my core, I'm a little bit of a nerd. I was a pro wrestling fan growing up, you know. But I'm making an effort to be an open-minded father. Like, I would never say the word faggot in front of my son. I would never say the N-word in front of my son. I just wouldn't do it. He's not.
How do you let him know when dinner's ready?
Is a nigger or a faggot? Which one was I calling him? What? But you,
depends on what's for dinner. You,
but you get what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't say that because his mind isn't old enough to process for a very long time. Even as like a teenager, I feel like they're not mature enough to understand what words are and how to use them responsibly. You know what I'm saying? And I think I'm always trying to be funny anytime. Or if I'm trying to make a point, I will use the word matter-of-factly and just talk about it. I don't use those words maliciously, not in front of people anyway. But I wouldn't do that in front of my son. I'm trying to raise my kid. You know, I believe that that part of the left is right. We should watch what we're saying in front of children. And we should, people shouldn't, you know, I work as a comedian and I work in entertainment. But if you work as a butcher, you shouldn't be throwing the N-word. I don't care if you're making a joke. You don't work in funny. You know what I'm saying? I get the spirit of funny is there. But it's like, yeah, if you get caught doing that at work and you get fired, that's on you.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, for me, I'm trying to raise my kid the right way. I'm trying to fucking be open-minded. I truly believe this. If my kid ended up being gay, it wouldn't affect me in any type of, you know, crazy traumatic way. I would, you know, I would just deal with it. It's not ideal, but I would love my kid.
He's going to have a tougher life because of it, but that's
yeah,
all
that's
it is.
All, yeah, that's all it would matter to me. And to be honest with you, it's not even that much tougher. They're pretty protected now, you know? He also has so much love. Like, it's a lot of time it's a tougher life because they have a family that doesn't support them. Like, my kid will fucking be loved. I don't give a fuck what he does. If my kid murdered somebody, I would be... I'd be in prison visiting him every day.
Yeah.
I'd be coming up with excuses why, you know? So, you know, even if my kid was a fucking bad person, you know, and grew up to be a serial killer, like, I can never not imagine loving my kid and not finding a reason to fucking, you know, love him. So he's watching cartoons at my place. And right after Bubble Guppies, which is already a little fruity. Bubble Guppies are
What is Bubble Guppies?
Pull on a little Bubble Guppies commercial for a second.
It's when you fart out cum. Oops, sorry, I got some Bubble Guppies.
That might be my favorite joke you made on the show. I farted out some Bubble Guppies. Yeah, turn it on. Bubble Guppies. I'm Gil. If I had to fuck a Bubble Guppy, it'd be Molly. Bubble guppies. Bubble guppy guppy guppies. Bubble guppies. See how fruity this is? Yeah, already I'm going like her,
dude. Your kid shouldn't watch this, dude.
Let's like move on from Bubble Guppies already. So right after Bubble Guppies, Nella the Princess Knight comes on. Nella the fucking Princess Knight. Now this bitch, okay, here, can I say this? And I don't mean to, and I'm sounding like a men's rights activist. Maybe this chick's right about me. Maybe this chick's right about my fans. Why do little boys not have any cartoons anymore? Every little boy has a fucking, there's a girl character on it. There's some fucking like strong female presence within the show. There's no little boy show that comes out anymore that it's just like, that's for little boys. That's that, you know, at the preschool age, I guess maybe when they're a little bit older with Transformers and shit, but I'm sure there's some fucking feminist-y shit going on with Transformers and G.I. Joes now too. Some fucking dumb fucking shitty fucking little tiny Fiat or something that turns into a fucking chick with a bow. So there's no cartoons just for little boys, right? Paw Patrol, it should be a little boy show. All the little fucking puppies are saving the day, and they got to have this little fucking cunt in a helicopter come out, right? Sky, right? And she's out there, yeah, she's flying around doing shit. Not true. It's like, yeah, sure, right? If Sky showed up to save the fucking day, I'd be like, all right, beat it, Sky. You're a fucking female dog. You're in heat right now, right? But
I'd be like, you're a dog. You can't drive a helicopter.
Somebody get that dog out of that helicopter. This is getting crazy. But there's no dude or little boy cartoons. So Nella the Princess Knight, I'm like, all right, fine. I'll let James watch Nella the Princess Knight. Because in my mind, I'm going like, are they going to have her sidekick's going to be some fucking, you know, fucking bro type. She's drinking a beer, playing pool, whatever. I don't know. There'll be something. Because it's called Nella the Princess Knight. It couldn't be any fruitier of a cartoon, right? And it comes on. It's almost like they go through like fruity things because it's Paw Patrol, Bubble Guppies, Nella the Princess Knight. So it's almost like they're just getting fruitier as the day goes on. So play a little bit of Nella the Princess Knight.
A far-off kingdom, there is a princess named Nella.
And she's
with
black.
With a beautiful gown and sparkling tiara. She is a picture-perfect princess.
That's only part of my story. I am the Princess Knight.
Get ready to meet a royally awesome new hero. Nickelodeon presents Nella, the Princess Knight. Now, the brand new series, Monday, February 6th.
Pull up
on
her sidekick. Her sidekick is a pink fucking unicorn. That I don't know if it's a guy
yeah,
or
yeah, but
a
is
girl.
He like drinking beers and playing pool?
No, he's not. Okay, he's not a badass unicorn. By the way, that would be a cooler angle on the show if he had like my voice, like if I did the voice of the unicorn. And I was like, Della, what are we doing today? We're gonna go get some puss. She's like, no, pink unicorn, we're gonna go fucking save the day. That'd be great. I mean, look at this. And then in the background is her little fucking guy friend who's like, hey, I'm a pussy, I can't
friend
really
zone,
do anything.
Right?
On his fucking fat retarded horse.
Yeah, on a donkey. Look at this jackass on a jackass. Fucking loser. Can't do anything right. What's the horse's name? I want to see the horse talk. Find out, Shannon. Okay, because this fucking horse, this is my problem with this. It's not even Nella. I have no problem. Dora the Explorer, right? That bitch has Diego. She's got her monkey. She's got it all, okay? It's a
Femi
whole...
the Bull?
Is that a thing? I never watched it, really. But I know that she has her little fucking teammates, and it's unisex. It feels like it's for the little boys. Like, hey, you know what? It's okay. Go follow a chick. She's a powerful woman. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I'll tell when he gets older, we'll really explain what Dora's up to, okay? She's going to become a Selena Gomez type one day. Where once Dora becomes a teenager, then her real powers are going to come into play. Got play some of this. This is an episode? It's okay. You got it, Shannon. I'll play my bike so.
Get ready to fight for what's right with
puke.
Nella, the Princess Knight, the brand new series.
You didn't get the horse talking. It's okay, Shannon.
All right. For our very talented, very creative fans, if anyone could take an episode of the show and dub Lewis's voice
as the horse,
and double
with
points.
Shit that I've said.
Yeah, with just offensive shit Lewis has said, and double points if you could have Yamanika or Khalees Hawkins be Nella.
Oh, fuck me.
But actually, it might be funnier if it's
no,
just...
No, it's got to be Nella. It's got to be Nella, and I got to
be
the horse.
It's audio from the show.
Yeah.
And then you responding with just Lewisisms.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's amazing.
If somebody could do that, free Gas Digital for a year.
Deal. Fine. I love how Zach just makes up the rules as we go along, but 100%. Free Gas Digital for a year. If you fucking
that'd be such a funny video. That's 100% worth that.
150%. I'm sure that Nickelodeon will have that taken down from YouTube very quickly. But am I crazy here? I mean...
No, dude. That shit, even if... It looks like when we were kids, if they did that shit and it was all dudes, we'd think that was too gay to watch.
Yeah.
Like, it's stupid.
Yeah.
So why do you have to make it even, like, worse?
Yeah. It's got to be... You got to just make it a little bit... Because they know the little boys are watching. I almost feel like it's an evil plan by Nickelodeon to piss off fathers. Because I'm trying to distract him while we're, like, watching it. Like, it'll come on. I'm like, hey,
look,
James.
Look, James, my dick is out.
Don't go gay. Look at my dick.
I mean, it's fucking crazy, man. I mean, what is going on here? And I'm not even being an asshole. I wouldn't tell him not to watch it. I would never tell my son's mother not to let him watch it. But it's just bugging me. I told you the story about the skateboard, right?
No.
We were going to buy him a skateboard, and we were in Toys R Us. And, you know, there was all these skateboards. There's like six models, right? And it was like, you know, a fucking skull and a fucking, you know, a fucking monster and another one. And like, it was cool. Like all these cool skateboards. And there was one pink one. And I wanted him to pick his own skateboard. This was a couple years ago. So I laid out all the skateboards. I was like, all right, I'm going to have him pick his own skateboard. And I laid out the pink one too. I was like, I'm not going to be that dad. I'll lay out the pink one too. This little fucking kid goes straight for the pink one. I just fucking kicked it down the hallway. Like, no, James, not that one. He got a green skull. Because the other problem is pink is a very appealing color. I understand why a little boy would fucking gravitate toward pink, right? Color pussy. He was trying to get some pussy. My son was just trying to get puss, too. That's how fucking much of a man he is.
It's the color of pussy and baloney, the Gomez family crest.
I really hate you, Zach. I was thinking about this as well, because do you know what Paw Patrol is?
No, I've never seen that. I don't know anything about the cartoons right now.
They separated. It was a weird thing, because when we were kids, I almost feel like there wasn't many preschool cartoons. It was kind of like Mickey Mouse was it.
Yeah.
You know, and even Mickey Mouse was kind of like, you know, adult in its own way. You know, people appreciated Mickey Mouse because it was one of the first, like, animated cartoons. But kids now, like, they really separate all the cartoons. There's, like, learning cartoons, and there's, like, a lot. There's a ton. Like, the Sprout, Nick Jr., Disney Jr., then there's the regular Disney regular. So there's a ton to fucking choose from.
Well, when me and it might be a little different for you because you're slightly older.
Yeah.
But when me and Eli were kids, all cartoons were just toy commercials.
Yeah.
Well, they still have that now.
But I would say that show, like, Paw Patrol, I mean, the reason all these shows have a million characters is because there's a million more people to sell you.
Yeah.
But like that, no, it doesn't seem like a toy crate. It seems like a learning show. Like the little kid shows seem like learning shows.
Well, that's kind of what Sesame Street is, and that's what they always like incorporate a learning plan. Team Umizoomi. Those motherfuckers are no joke, dude. They save the day and they teach you a lesson the whole time. Paw Patrol, I don't feel like they're teaching too many lessons. Paw Patrol, they're just fucking barking around.
I don't like any lessons. I always say it. The only ones when we were kids that did lessons was like Captain Planet and
G.I.
Like
Joe.
Squawzer. Did G.I. Joe? I never watched G.I. Joe.
Yeah, kill lessons. Arabs.
Yeah.
You want to waterboard some Asians. Yeah.
Torture works.
G.I. Joe is the fucking thing. No, but I don't feel like it was as like Sesame Street's always been around and always had that built in, but Sesame Street was the thing that we used to learn as a kid.
Yeah.
Now every show, and the truth is parents are lazy, so they've almost been like, well, no. If we're going to fucking have them in front of a TV, have them learning at the same time so they can justify their laziness.
That sucks.
So, yeah, I mean, I do it too. Like, but look, because you need a break sometimes. You got to put them in front of TV. And if you're going to choose one or the other, am I going to watch just flashy colors and fucking violence? Or am I going to put him in front of something that's teaching him, you know, the fucking why colored people are equal, you know? What are you going to do, you know? So, Paw Patrol, though, I was thinking about Paw Patrol versus Pound Puppies. Okay, Paw Patrol, those guys are out there doing shit. Okay, please pull up a little Paw Patrol. I would love to see some Paw Patrol. Because these fucking dogs, they're crushing it. Fast forward a little bit. They're solving problems.
We know we saw the merpup. Let's get close and prove it.
Cool.
Yeah, we can use the paddleboard.
This is the right amount of game.
Cutscene, he's just fucking around the paddleboard. Okay, all right, so that's it, right? But these puppies are out there. There's some shit that happens. Mayor Goodway gets in trouble. They fucking have to come and save the day. Paw Patrols are no joke. Pound Puppies, on the other hand, did they ever do anything? I feel like Pound Puppies were just like, they just lived, and they were always like running away from somebody that was trying to like catch them or kill them.
I know of Pound Puppies. I don't know if I ever watched it.
Pound Puppies sounds like bestiality porn.
Pound these puppies.
Yeah, but for pedophiles, like combining bestiality and pedophilia.
If you're gonna fuck a dog, fuck
Shannon's OkCupid name.
No, I draw the line at puppies. You can fuck a dog or you can fuck a human kid, but don't fuck a puppy. That's terrible.
What would you judge somebody fucking a puppy more than a child?
Well, the puppy would probably die, so yeah. Right.
I think killing a puppy is still less bad. Fucking a puppy to death is still less bad than even fondling a child.
What kind of fondle are we talking?
Fondling, not insertion.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, like, here's the thing. Like, obviously, it's fucked up to pound a puppy to death.
Yeah, okay? I obviously think, yeah. I thought we were still doing the jokey thing. I didn't know we were getting serious with the fucking the puppy
we're
analogy.
We're getting very serious right now, okay? Because that's a good question.
It is, right?
Zach, what's a worse offense? Just fondling a kid's genitals, like a little fucking... or fucking a puppy to death?
The kid.
Yeah, that kid's worse.
It's just
it's worse.
Different.
A puppy
animals,
doesn't know what's happening.
You can't put animals and people on the same plane.
Yeah, people do that all the time.
A kid will remember that the rest of their life and be fucked up.
There's
a
some
puppy will
fucking
forget.
Dog cunt out there right now that's going, no, you can't fuck a puppy to death. You can't do that. Like, no, and I'm telling you right now, given the choice between having to watch one or the other, I'm watching that puppy get
fucked.
I'm just
picturing a guy fucking a Dalmatian to death, like a Dalmatian puppy, and he goes, all right, 100 to go.
Yeah, that's the truth. So let me see some pound puppies.
Mommy!
See, they're like hiding from fucking garbage trucks.
Mommy's coming!
I think there's also the newer version
Lucky,
as well.
No! I have to catch a Lucky.
It's like pretty gritty.
Hey,
though.
You can't run
is it
on
called
freeway?
Pound? Is there afraid of going to the pound?
Yeah, that's it. They were puppies from the pound. All right, turn it off.
Why was that
I hate
puppy
it.
On
this
the...
isn't even the pound puppies from when I was a kid. The pound puppies from when I was a kid, they were just like afraid of like, you know, people that are trying to catch them. And, like, they'd hide from cars, and that was the whole angle of the show. They saved no lives.
It's the pound puppies.
There this is. At the end of every episode, they put one down.
Fur coats. With this, the automatic puppy pelter.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, how great were cartoons back in the day?
It's dark, man.
Look what they were going to put those puppies through.
That's amazing.
Do you think that they animated the puppy going through that a couple times? They had to, just for fun, behind the scenes.
It seems the instruction booklet was stolen.
I'll leave this on. I just kind of want to watch this.
The
Cats also get a bad reputation in cartoons. They're never, cats are never good.
They're always a bad guy.
You see, yeah. He knows who stole it.
It's so good to be alone with you, Cooler.
Yeah, completely alone.
Whoa.
Like the way you
Red
left
Rock
me back
time.
In Wagga Wagga.
Holy shit.
Cooler, yeah. I thought the captain had finished you. That's why I stayed in Wagga Wagga and joined the Puppy Underground. We've been trying to rescue all the puppies
that
the captain
Jesus Christ. Her outfit.
This was for
what
kids?
For?
What
this
the hell?
The captain's hired.
Oh, dude.
And by the way, she's a puppy, so she's got two other sets of tits showing.
This bitch is in heat.
I managed to escape with it, but he's been tracking me ever since. So, when I heard you were still alive, I came here. You're my last hope, Cooler. Oh, yeah.
I am?
You are.
Hold it right there, hot lips. I've heard just about enough of your hogwash.
Oh, this is his ugly girlfriend. Just showing up like, ah, oh, you goofy bitch. Look at her fucking shitty midsection.
Lying.
Got a Puerto Rican girlfriend. Rosie Perez is his girlfriend.
Well, then give us
fuck
one
you, Mookie.
Nah, nigga, you dead. All right, it's fine, Shannon. We got it. And I love how the one dog has cataracts. Did you see that?
Yeah.
The one dog literally has cataracts. That's the pound puppies. They fucking, they. That's it. That's their life. It's like they're just fucking in garbage. They're saving no day.
This is like The Wire of
puppies. Pitching this cartoon
is real
called
life.
The
yeah,
it's gritty. I'm pitching this cartoon called The Puerto Ricans. We can't do that. Yeah. How about pound puppies?
It's more like Oz, though. They're in prison. Or like a prison break. Let's do our latest segment, Would You Fuck? Shannon, we need a drop for Would You Fuck? Because I don't know, because we do next week. This is one of my favorite segments on the show. Bring this video up. I'm going to call her Bloody Vagina Yoga Girl. Here she is. This yogi bled through her pants on purpose and then took a video of her doing yoga in white pants to show that women, what did that say? That women's periods don't have to be taboo. You shouldn't have to feel embarrassed by your period. And you shouldn't be ashamed if you happen to leak. Now, keep it on. I like the music. Getting your period can suck. But the whole time, she's just doing different yoga positions and her cunt is bleeding. But that's not some big secret. So stop hiding. All right, so we got it. So, first of all, I'm going to ask you, would you fuck, Eli?
I mean, yeah.
Hot check, right?
100%.
Well, yeah. Why would you even ask a dude that? Like, the answer is always yes. Like,
sort of. Some people can't have sex with a girl on their period.
That is fucking absurd.
Some people can't do it. I have difficulty. It's not my ideal. It's I will do it, especially if it's the first few times I fuck a chick. I can, like, get into it. I'm not as concerned. But it does start to gross me out. Like, it does after a while. Like, if she's, like, heavily bleeding.
Yeah, dude. Actually, I was joking. No, I wouldn't. If I didn't know like as is like with her pussy bleed, like I didn't know.
Oh no, as is.
Oh no.
I mean, then there's another level. She's a fucking piece of garbage who's taking a video of her vagina bleeding, and I don't want to sit here. I know girls get mad at me all the time for saying stupid shit, right? I'm not being an asshole here, okay? Like, if there was there was a dude who sprung a leak, if he had his elbow bleeding and he went into a yoga studio and was doing yoga, I'd be like, dude, put a fucking Band-Aid
on. Yeah, that'd be weird as shit.
And Karen said to me, she's like, oh, yeah, you know, somebody getting a cut is not a natural thing. I was like, what do you want me to say here?
What about a nosebleed?
It's just gross. Yeah.
Gross.
Plug it up. What do you want me to say? It's just gross to other people. I'm not saying that women are gross. I'm not saying that women are less than. I'm not saying that I don't feel for you or feel for the plight of the woman to have to get her period every month. But let's just be honest. You're now infringing on the rights of everybody else around you because they have to look at your disgusting bloody cunt and smell now, nickels.
Have you seen a bloody cunt in public?
Yeah, once in high school, a girl bled through her pants in her chair.
Damn.
And she was very embarrassed, as she should have been. She didn't start doing fucking warrior pose.
I doubt there's a danger that this is going to start happening. It would
no,
be
this
fucking
is the
gross.
Thing.
You think this is the new thing?
Bleeding through is a trend. I don't think it's going to...
Really?
It's going to... But it's a trend. You know, the same way women have, like, armpit hair. It's like, that's a trend that, like, super, okay. Like, feminists... That used to be a super lefty feminist thing to do, was grow your armpit hair.
Yeah, yeah, no makeup.
Now
no.
It's pretty fucking common.
Yeah,
a lot of women do that. I fucked a few chicks with armpit hair. I have no problem with it, right? this thing is now this newest, you know, it's gone so extreme, everyone's views. So this is the new age version of growing your armpit hair out is letting your vagina bleed. Shannon, I need a woman's perspective here. What, women, white pants. Yeah, look, women wear white pants stained with period blood. I mean, this is to make a point. They're in colleges and they walk around the college campus to go, oh, you know, we're doing this to fight back against the patriarchy. You're like, you're an animal.
Yo, her pussy's so metal. Dude, I think that
if her pussy's worshiping Satan, fine.
Yo, dude, I think dudes will adapt to find literally anything sexy. I think if women started doing this, we'd find it hot. We're fucking animals. I think we'd start like
I don't think anybody's doing crazy shit
like
funny and hot.
Like people, we start saying like I'll only eat pussy if there's ketchup on it. Like people will start finding it like to be a fetish. They probably already do, right?
I'm sure they do. I'm sure people love period blood. There's like a whole sect of porn where that I'm sure is a thing. And people have their. I'm not even saying. I would understand it if that woman said it turns me on to have people watch me bleed.
Then you'd love that video, right?
Yeah, I could jerk off to
you
that.
You would love. We'd be talking this is a whole other context. It'd be great.
Because that's I can understand sexual deviancy. I can't understand like here when I fuck in public and I fuck in public a lot. Like I like to do it, you know, like up against the wall, like nice, 9 o'clock dude. At night, like in like a busy area. Like I'm a creep, right? So I know that that's actually infringing on other people's rights as well, right? Yeah. But it's a sexual deviancy, so it kind of turns me on. So, look, I'm risking something. It is actually pretty rude to the other people around me. But it's not. I'm not doing it for a point. I'm doing it because I'm a fucking psycho and I need to get off. You know what I'm saying? So I can wrap my mind around that if that's why they wanted to do it. But just to go like I'm a woman and you like you're like literally grossing people out. You're gonna make people puke because. You're
it's not the blood. You're disgusted by a proud woman.
Partially the proud woman, yeah.
If there's one thing worse than proud boys, it would definitely be proud women. Oof.
Holy shit. Are we shitting on the proud boys? Are we allowed to? I'm sure they're fine. Some of the proud boys are big fans of the show,
Who are the proud boys?
It's Gavin McGinnis's like followers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're they're good. They're not bad people. I think they're a little lost, some of them. Some of them troll and fuck, they're assholes, and then some of them are really nice. There's a lot of fans of the show, so, Shannon, give me a little perspective here. Am I being a complete pig? Because I feel like you're very level-headed.
Yeah, no, I don't. I think it's gross. Like when I have my period on my own, it's not something where I'm like, oh, it's so pretty.
Yeah, it's not gross. Beautiful.
Yeah, no.
It sucks. You know, it sucks.
Yeah.
If I get a stomach virus and I'm spewing, diarrhea everywhere. I'm not going like, oh, this is fun. It's beautiful. I should be celebrating nature and, you know, it just happened naturally. No.
You're just doing it because you think it's fucking sexy and
public. It's hot as shit. It's fucking I can't cool. comment unless I'm spewing diarrhea out of my asshole publicly.
tell me if you agree with this. I think that there's a taboo on like period jokes though. And I don't like that. Like what people, I think people do go after like, oh, good. She's going to talk about her period. To me, periods are the funniest fucking thing.
Yeah.
In the world. So I want more period jokes, honestly. It's disgusting. It's hilarious.
I don't have a problem with period jokes. I don't have a problem with any jokes as long as they're funny. Like, you know, here's the thing. Like, you know, the hack topic in comedy for anybody to talk about is like airline food or airline jokes.
Yeah,
if you start talking about the airport. But a lot of comics go there because that's what they do constantly is they fly in airports and they look around them and there's all this stupid shit.
Yeah, find something funny about it.
So... here's the deal. You run a risk the same way with really like dirty comedy, right? Or if you're going to do a joke with the N-word, you know, one of Dave Attell's best jokes. I was talking to Attell about it this past weekend, but he's like, midgets, they don't like to be called midgets. You know what they want to be called? Little people. It's better than what I call them, floor niggers, which is just a fucking great Attell joke. But he said he can't tell it anymore because crowds cringe at it. And you understand, people love... We want to kill. We're not trying to make a crowd cringe. We're not trying to be edgy. We're trying to push it to a level where edgy comics anyway. We're trying to push it to a level where we're still killing, but we're still talking about shit that gets us going. That's just what gets an edgy
and that,
comic
that line moves through time. The line moves. You can always offend someone just the right amount, but sometimes it's a little closer, sometimes further.
Yeah. So I don't even remember why I was making that point. But
about how jokes are jokes, period, yeah, whatever. Period.
Oh, right, exactly. Food, so whatever, if it's funny, it's funny. You run the risk of being called a hack. If you're a female doing period jokes, you're running the risk of being called the hack. And there's going to be a lot of people that have a visceral, immediate reaction where they go, oh, boy, a period joke. And they're not going to give it a chance. The same way, I'll do a joke about race. And they hear a joke about race right away, and then they shut down immediately to it.
They're like, they assume they know where you're going with it.
Even when I'm, you know, even when I'm attacking my own race, you know, they'll almost like, I've done jokes about my father being dead and people get mad. They go, oh, how could you joke about that? I'm like, getting mad about my father
right?
being dead? It's my dad. You psychopath. Like, it's crazy to me. So, all right, real quick, let's get some questions, Shannon. Great show so far.
Give me a fucking answer. 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 Give me a fucking answer.
I'm asking you for the answer. It's a question.
First of all, thank you for listening to the show. Go to our iTunes, leave us a 5-star ranking, positive comments. Do that, you motherfuckers, man. The Real Ass Podcast has grown, I mean, tremendously. The numbers on the Real Ass Podcast are pretty close to where Legion of Skanks was right before we joined Kumia. That's how large the show has grown. And I feel like the iTunes action is fucking horrific. Nobody leaves iTunes comments. It's great. I look at the numbers. I obsess over the numbers. So, guys, go leave some iTunes comments, please. You piece of fucking shit. Every one of you. Follow everyone on Twitter at Louis J. Gomez, at Eli Sayers, ELISAIRS, at Zach is not funny. And tweet at Chris Tinkle. Where is Chris Tinkle? I'm Shannon Lee on Twitter, IMSHANNONLEE. Here it is. You know the deal. Questions of the day. I post it the morning of the show around 9 a.m. Just go to my Facebook, facebook.com/LouisJGomezComedy, and post your questions, and we'll try to answer a few of them on the show every week. Okay, key. Ron Amrash Gash says, have you or LOS any interest in touring outside of North America, example, Europe or Australia, or is your fan base too U.S. dominated for it to be worthwhile? Shannon, I had Legion of Skanks tweet out a poll to see where all of our fans were. So let's go to our I want to see where we're at. Because we have a lot more fans in Europe than I had thought. I look at the analytics. We have a decent amount of fans in Australia as well. What is it at? What are the numbers at, Shannon? It's okay. I tweeted it today. It's probably one of the latest tweets. No? So weird. Well, I know I did it. But anyway, I know we have a lot of fans in Europe, a lot of fans in Australia. So hopefully, yeah, right there. I got it right here. 77% of our fans are in the U.S., according to this poll. 10% in Canada, 9% in Europe, 4% in South America. I didn't include Asia or India because we would never go there. But a lot in Canada and a lot in Europe. You know, 10% of our fan base in Europe is a big number. So we're talking about it. Legion of Skanks has been talking about touring altogether. We're close to reaching an agreement with an agency to start touring just the podcast. So not stand-up, but just the podcast, the three of us. So look out for that stuff. We are going down to Moon Tower in April. So check us out there as well if you guys are out in Austin. So, yeah, that's basically that. Next question. Sorry, guys. I'm all over the fucking place right now. Let's see. K. Vazzy had a few of them. I'm only going to answer one today, K. Vazzy. You are the fucking man. What is the stupidest thing you've ever done, Eli?
Dumbest thing I've ever
stupidest
done.
Stupidest thing? You look back in your life, you're like, fuck, that was stupid.
Starting a Coast War and roast battle. That was stupid. Did not know what it would be this quick. Didn't know.
When they wipe our ass with their title, with our title, they take it and they shit on it.
I don't think they're all psychos like you, man. I think that I don't think everyone's like you.
They don't take a video of them dumping on our title.
Oh, Jesus.
It's a missed opportunity. I really mean that. Zach, what is the stupidest thing that you've ever done?
Stole a golf cart in high school. Got charged with grand theft.
Whoa. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Do you have trouble getting into Canada?
No, it got dropped to theft of a conveyance because my.
And it's also so long ago, it wouldn't matter anymore.
Yeah, I was like 15.
I got to stop getting arrested to stop having issues getting into Canada. I'm just stupid. I almost feel like, guys, stop arresting me for smoking weed. If they had never arrested me for smoking weed, Dave Smith talks about the creating criminals and creating a black market. Like, I have this huge criminal record for the 10 times that I've been caught smoking weed in the streets throughout my life. And if you just look at my rap sheet, I've been in New York jails multiple times for smoking a joint. I can go into Canada, but I got to fucking see an immigration lawyer, and I got to go through this whole process to go back to Canada, and I can't motivate to get that shit done. So it's just not going to happen anytime soon. So they need to fucking change the law. That's crazy. Okay, that's crazy. The fact that I'm not a criminal, but for some reason, according to the fucking immigration laws, I am. Bananas. Stupidest thing that I've ever done? Probably getting caught smoking weed on the street 10 times. I just
mostly times 8, 9, and 10.
Yeah, the 10th one was the stupidest one. It gets more and more.
I'm just kind of going like, I'm expecting it. Like, we're getting more and more liberal. The laws are a little bit. I'm just expecting them one day to cop to come up and be like, hey, dude, cool. Can I take a hit of that? One day that's going to happen. They're not going to arrest me. Every time I have a smile on my face, like, he's going to ask for a hit of this joint this time. This is the fucking day. And it never is.
You stop smoking in front of cop stations.
I mean, right around the corner from the police station, right in front of the stand. While we're directly in front of the club, I fucking got arrested. And there's a police station on the corner. They were like, you are a moron. All right. So let's see. What else? I got another one. Somebody sent me a message via Reddit. And I wanted to answer that here. No, they didn't. Where the fuck is it? All right. Well, fuck him. Fuck that guy too, guys. Last question. Here it is, guys. Off of Facebook. Okay, Daniel Villalobos wants to know, I was watching a video how the earth is flat and in the center is paradise and the blood water is life. Do you guys believe shit like this?
Yeah.
Obviously.
What's the question? What's the controversy on this one?
Yeah.
You lost me. I checked out on that one.
Yeah, he wants to know if we believe in all this fucking flat earth conspiracy theory shit. No.
It's fun to read about.
I go to r/space.
It's cool to read about and shit, but it's stupid. Flat. It's all, no, of course not.
Maybe we'll do an episode where we explore what the fuck that even is. We'll do a whole guest the news on the earth being flat because people are saying it. There almost has to be something to it, right? Like when people talk about 9/11 being an inside job, there are little things that you go like, oh, that's
a good
why
point. Yeah,
somebody
yeah.
could be convinced.
Yeah, yeah.
Right now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I do believe that we had more knowledge of it. I think that we could have prevented it in other ways. But, you know, when people talk about just whatever, you know, metal not melting at whatever degrees that it melted. I know that's supposedly bullshit. But as a human being, you present that to me and I wrap my mind around it and I go, oh, that's something to question. Maybe it'll be debunked. Maybe it won't. What are the flat earthers saying that would make me go like, oh, shit, that's pretty crazy, actually, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because every single one of them, you watch the shooting at that school, Newtown, Connecticut, they had, you know, the overhead images being like, where are the police and blah, blah, blah. And you start to buy into it, you know? So I'd love to explore what the flat earthers say. Maybe we'll get somebody on, Shannon. That's your job for next week. I want a flat earther on the show. Shannon. Talk to Mike Cannon, because Mike Cannon did a conspiracy theory podcast. If you reach out to him, he'll be able to hook us up with somebody. I don't know that he's actually... I want to be convinced.
What are they gaining by tricking us with that, though? What are they gaining by making us think the Earth is round and it's actually flat?
Dude, people...
It's globe manufacturers. Globes cost a lot more than a flat map, bro.
Very true. It's very true. So, anyway, guys, look. We're fucking going to get out of here, man. Thank you. Dude, Eli, thank you for coming in, dude. Always fun.
Thank you, man.
You're very funny.
Awesome. Thanks.
Go check out Eli's shit, and please come out to the Roast
Masters.
Yeah,
come out. Help us look good. March 7th.
So March 7th.
Go to the stand, website, get some tickets.
StandNYC.com. Check out Eli defending his title. We're all going to be there supporting for New York. And then, obviously, you'll be having another title bout coming up soon enough. I think J.P. McDade and Scott Chaplin are doing number one contender bout.
Yeah.
Christy Cello and Karen Fian are doing another number one contender bout. So we got some contenders lining up, bitch.
It's awesome. It's exciting.
Yeah, this
exciting
is it,
things happening.
We're at Real House Podcast. Check you next week. Peace.
That's all, folks.